Okay, let's see. Out of the way. So this is a tiny like attempt at doing a similar visualization to Gapminder using some constraints. I'm going to data. So now we have the morphs. They're all in the stuck in the bottom right now. Currently, I've set it up so they only start spreading once I start the slider. Like so. And there's no data tree. The point is 0.0. So right now we have total unemployment. The size is the income per person. Inflation adjusted, and the x-axis is the total population. As you can see, from the sizes, we have pretty much almost no data for the income per person at here. So when we go to latest, we income data all start growing, and then they start moving up as well. So we get unemployment data here. We have very high unemployment in Spain, some unemployment also in France and the Netherlands. The United States are here. Still, countries like Monaco, Arab Emirates, United Kingdom, there's often little data about unemployment in the early years, so those down there, but forward into future, countries start moving up, but there's some countries that stay down here for a while, and if I change this, size is the population, and here you can see China. China's all the way to the right, and apparently the Chinese government doesn't give out any information about unemployment, so they're all the way over here. Actually, now that the size is the total population, let's do income per person. Again, have total population is the size, and this is not very well scaled, so let's fix that. For a quick look, these are the constraints. This is what each of those little bubbles has. It's all the code that each of the bubble has. They are saying just that their position is determined by the X and Y data for the current year, and the extent, their size, it's determined by the data that's set to correspond to the size. And there's some scaling going on, as you can hear, map to size, map to X, map to Y. And these map to X, map to Y, map to size functions, they just kind of spread the data. And since sizes are fairly small here, let's just multiply one with 200. And then once I've done that, hinges one just a little bit, and now we actually see a few differences. So these constraints, they keep track of the constraints simply use these accessor functions from the graph. Give me the data that's on your x-axis, on your y-axis, and all that corresponds to the size. And these functions simply check which of the indices is selected in the list. So when I change these, they quite naturally the constraint solver knows what changed and knows how to update and move all the morphs, so they again are at the correct positions. This is very rough around the edges, but it's just like a small demo of how this can be done. I've been quite happy in particular with that I didn't have to change these constraints at all, and that when I add UI elements like the lists for selection of the different things, it just works. And you can, as you've seen, you can just, with a mapping function of all these, you can just play around with them, and that gets reflected automatically also in the constraints. And sure, you could have done all that thing, but it's a so this is basically the system keeping track of which events you have to handle, rather than you having to step or figure out which events you have to handle yourself.